Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning on this Evangelism Sunday. Evangelism is a word that means to preach or to share the gospel. And gospel is a word that means good news. So today we focus on sharing that good news of salvation for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We begin our worship service with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning in your presence to hear your word, grant that we might humbly confess our sins and rejoice in your grace. Open our hearts to hear the message from your word, and move us then to apply that message to our lives and to share it with others. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 566.
Thank you.
Please rise. We'll follow the order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now, we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. Let all who hear now to His temple draw near, joining in glad adoration.
We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, You sent Your Son to earth to give us heaven. By Your grace, lead us with all the company of the redeemed to the eternal rest He won for us in the mansions of our heavenly home. We pray this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of Psalm 67. You find that printed on the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. God be merciful to us and bless us. That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations.
When the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You.
O let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For You shall judge the people righteously, and govern the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise You, O God.
Let all the peoples praise You.
Then the earth shall yield her increase. God shall bless us. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 6, verses 25 through 40. Sanctify us by Your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Now, this Gospel reading, which is found on the bottom of page 3 in your bulletin, is Jesus' words after He had fed more than 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. They came and found Him on the other side of the lake the next day, and they begin to ask Him for more. Jesus turns their desire for earthly bread to Him, the bread from heaven, and takes their earthly needs and points out their greatest need for spiritual healing and forgiveness in Him, the Son of God. We read then from John chapter 6. When they found Him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did You come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking Me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign will you do that we may see and believe you? What work will you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Here ends our scripture readings. Join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God. We'll do so with the Nicene Creed on the top of page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 690. Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Evangelism Sunday is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace. It is one of the most important and most familiar words in the Bible. In the New King James translation of the Bible, it is used almost 150 times. You hear the word grace used often in church circles. It's used actually as the name of a number of churches, including the church that we rent from in Hayward. Grace is the subject of many hymns. As you may have noticed today, the subject of our hymns is the word grace, including probably one of the most famous hymns of all time, Amazing Grace, which we just sung. But what does grace mean? And why is grace so important? Well, grace means undeserved love. I would guess that most, if not all, of my 6th through 8th grade catechism students could answer that question. Grace means undeserved love. But do we fully understand and grasp what grace actually means? What the concept of grace actually means? Have you ever tried to do that? Fully comprehend what God's grace toward us truly means? These verses from Ephesians chapter 2 are some of the most important verses in the Bible concerning that topic of grace. You hear the word grace used a couple of times by Paul in these verses, but it's one of the most important sections of Scripture to tell us not only what grace means, but to show us that it is by grace that we are saved, and then how important that grace is for our everyday Christian lives. The verses of our text are, in fact, a perfect section of Scripture for our Evangelism Sunday. Why is that? Because God's grace is the essence of the gospel, the good news. And evangelism is preaching or sharing that good news, the gospel. After all, the good news is all about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It is the story of God's grace. By grace you have been saved, as verse 8 of our text tells us. These are great words to build our faith upon. Great words to build all of our preaching and our teaching upon. Grace, God's undeserved love, means that our salvation has absolutely nothing to do with us, and has everything to do with Jesus, from beginning to end. Paul makes that very clear in our text today, doesn't he? So clear, in fact, that you have to wonder why so many people throughout history, even in our day, have gotten grace wrong. You have to wonder also why we have to keep rebuking our own natural inclinations to believe or do otherwise, to actually go against grace with what we think or feel or believe. By nature, and even from our own experience of life in this world, we are led to believe that there is no such thing actually as true grace, We even have expressions that say there's no such thing as a free lunch. In other words, there's nothing that is valuable or of any worth that is absolutely, positively, 100% free. Anything that is good or valuable, you have to do something to get. At least that's our experience in life. And that's what we feel and think and believe by nature. So we, and all human beings like us, by nature apply the same type of thinking to God and to our salvation. In order to please God and be right with Him, I must have to do something to gain that salvation. I've got to somehow work for it, be made good enough, or make myself good enough to deserve the good that God is giving me in the end. Well, if we are trying to work our way to the pearly gates of heaven, that is not grace. Paul tells us in our text, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, perhaps for most of us who are gathered here today, we are far too Lutheran to fall for that lie. We know, like some of the tenets of the Reformation itself, we're by grace alone. We know we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith, just like Martin Luther taught and has been taught in Lutheran churches for 500 years, just like our passage states. We are saved by grace. But isn't there a part of you that wants to believe that you did contribute something, at least a little bit, to your faith or to your salvation? Or maybe that you just somehow, in some small way, deserve to be a believer, deserve to be one of God's people. After all, we can tell ourselves, I've been pretty good. At least I'm not like the people who live down the street from me or the people I see in the news who are doing bad things. I don't do many bad things. I don't say all that many bad things. I don't cuss or swear, at least not that much. I haven't committed too many really big sins before. I'm usually helping people out. I go to church on Sundays. Doesn't it make sense that God would want me on His team? That must be why God chose me to be His own, to be one of His children. But that's not grace either. Why has God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as our text says? He gives the answer. He says, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Another word for sins. God's grace is so great that He loved us even when there wasn't anything in the slightest that was lovable about us. When nothing in us deserved His love, His kindness, His mercy, or His compassion. It was only because God is rich in mercy and because of His great love with which He loved us. That is grace. Grace is a love that loves the unlovable, that shows kindness and mercy to the undeserving. Grace is a love that sends your only Son to pay for the sins of the unloving, the unbelieving, even for people like you and me. Well, maybe we haven't fallen for that lie either. Maybe we fall for the lie that's been fed to many Christians and many people have swallowed today that say that I do believe that I'm saved by grace, but the believing part, that's something that I had to do. That's my part. I had to make my decision to believe in Jesus. I had to turn my life over to Jesus. I had to decide to live for God, and I had to choose Him. Is that grace? Actually, no, that's not grace either. What does Paul say in our text? He reminds us that our spiritual state that we are born in and when we come into this world is this. He says, we were dead in trespasses. That's our spiritual condition at birth. Dead. The Bible doesn't say we were sick. Doesn't say we were wounded. Doesn't say we were even paralyzed or otherwise impaired. Dead. A dead person cannot make themselves alive again. A dead person can't choose. The only choosing a dead person can do is to choose to stay dead. A dead man can't receive a gift, even if it's a free gift. A dead person cannot do anything. But notice what Paul says, and see how the verses of this text give us a fuller understanding of what it is when we say that God has saved us by His grace. Paul says, "But God made us alive together with Christ. God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And in case that wasn't all clear enough, that it was God who raised us up and gave us life in Christ, he goes on to say in the very next verse to remind us that even the faith that we have has been given to us by God. It is a gift of God. Listen again to those verses, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." That phrase, "it is a gift of God," is referring back to both the grace of God, His act of saving us through Jesus, and to that word, faith. So the grace of God and the faith that God gives us are, as Paul says, a gift of God, not of ourselves and not by works. Grace means very simply that from beginning to end, our salvation is God's work. It's not ours. Not by our decision, not by our cooperation, and certainly not by our own works. In fact, God is so completely the author of our spiritual life that Paul reminds us in the last verse of our text that even the good works that we do are a creation of God Himself. Those good works that God has called us to do as spiritually reborn children of Him, Paul says they are part of His preparation and His work. He says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them," or that we should live in them. So let me ask you, how much did you have a say in being born physically into this world? Did you tell your parents, you know, around May 14th, 1978, that'd be a good time to be born? Seemed like a good year, a good time of the year? No. I had no say in when I was born physically into this world, and neither did you. In the same way, it follows that we, being born as spiritual children of God, did we have any say in becoming God's children spiritually by faith? And the answer is no. The Bible tells us that we are His workmanship, His work of art. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works. That was one of the reasons He made us His children. Yes, to save us and give us heaven, but also to create us to do good works. Good works that we would do so that we didn't just sit on our hands and wait for Jesus to come again and take us to heaven, but so that we would do those good things that benefit both our fellow man and glorify our Savior in heaven as we walk through this life, to show our love and our thankfulness to Him by showing our love to others. And yet, as Paul tells us, even these works God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. God is there creating those opportunities, the situations to love and honor Him. He puts people in our lives to show our love for Him, to serve them, and to bless them. And He gives us the motivation and the power to put those works into practice and perform them. Do you realize what this actually then means for our lives? What security that we have? What assurance that we have? God's love saved us. His power raised us from spiritual death and made us alive through faith in Christ, which in itself is a gift of His grace. He preserves us in that faith. He motivates us, moves us, empowers us to do good works, the works that He has prepared and laid out in our lives individually, especially just for you and me. None of that depends on our own powers or efforts. So why do we continue to try to rely on our own strength when it comes to spiritual things or our faith life. Don't rely on yourself or your own strength. Rely on God, on His strength, and rest on His grace. For He has told us in His Word, just like He told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," or in our weakness. So what is grace, really? This is grace. That those of us, we who were dead, have been made alive. That we in whom nothing really good lives or dwells have been declared righteous, innocent, forgiven, and set free, acceptable to God in heaven, empowered to be His children and to do good works. That we who know and feel the guilt of our sins have been forgiven and freed by the cross of Christ, by Jesus' sacrifice. That we who were once heirs of death and hell itself are now heirs of heaven. Can there be anything more precious to us? Can there be anything more amazing than grace? Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Prayer requests have been made from the congregation for Wayne Bliss, who this Wednesday will be going in to have a biopsy to see if the cancer has regressed or progressed, and the doctors will make their decision about further treatment based on that biopsy. So we lift up Wayne in our prayers today. Are there any other prayer requests to bring before our Father's throne? Susan Rubel is her name? Okay. Any other prayer requests? For Don? Okay, we'll continue to pray for him. Any update you want to share? Anything particularly? Okay.
Dave Rhyme,
yes. In the back of your bulletin, you will see a note from Pastor Rhyme's son-in-law, Nathan Pfeiffer, Pastor Pfeiffer. Dave suffered a heart attack this past week. Thankfully, the Lord got him through it, and he is expected to make a full recovery. But we pray the Lord to continue to heal him, and we thank him for watching over Pastor Rhyme in his heart attack. Any other prayers to bring before our Father's throne? Yes, Rebecca.
Prayer of thanksgiving that you got a job offer.
We rejoice about that too, yes. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Savior Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for the great love with which you loved us in sacrificing yourself for our sins. Give to each of us a love for souls that will cause us to seek out your lost sheep among the people we know and meet. Help us to tell them of the sacrifice your love made for their sins. Make us your devout and able messengers of the gospel by filling us with your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we bring special requests and prayers today for many of your children. First of all, we pray that you would be with Wayne Bliss as he undergoes a biopsy this Wednesday. We are praying, Lord, for favorable results from that biopsy. We pray that the cancer would have not spread, but has receded, and that the treatment has been effective. And dear Lord, whatever the results are, help him to have courage and confidence, knowing that you are working all things out for his good. And we pray, Lord, if it be your will, that you'd give him complete and full healing from his illness. We pray prayers of thanksgiving, Lord, for our sister in Christ, who was for Shelley Rubel, who went through double knee replacement. We thank you, Lord, that she is fully recovering, and we ask you to give her full recovery from her surgery. Lord, we continue to pray for Don Drews. We know, Lord, that you are giving him what he needs each day, and ask that you continue to increase his strength and make his recovery fully complete, that if it's your will, he may return home. Please bless the staff and the nurses and the doctors who are with him, that they will know how to properly treat Don and give him the best care possible. We thank and praise you, Lord, for watching over Pastor Rhyme this past week, for blessing him with recovery from his heart attack, and pray that you'd give him the rest and the recovery that he needs to return home, and if it be your will, Lord, return to his duties as pastor in Canada. We also offer prayers of thanksgiving, Lord, for the Lillo family and for our congregation that has been praying for BJ to find a job. We thank you that you've blessed him with employment, and we ask you, Lord, to bring him here to the Bay Area as soon as possible, that he may rejoin his family and that he may work to your glory and for the benefit of your people. O Lord, we must confess our sins before you, and we know that you have heard our prayers and have forgiven all of our sins because you died on the cross to save us. We must confess that we are often fearful and timid, and we've been reluctant to speak of the wonders of your salvation to others. We are prone often to make excuses and have remained silent too many times. You've given us many talents, Lord, but they have often remained untested and unused in the work of your kingdom. Our earthly treasures and the wealth that you've given us have often remained uninvested in our church's mission endeavors. We ask you, Lord, to forgive these sins of neglect, and through your Holy Spirit, supply whatever courage, whatever zeal, whatever love and abilities we still lack to make us faithful and effectual workers in your kingdom. To the praise of your saving name, we ask all these things as we pray in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Our closing hymn for today is also found in the TAN Worship Supplement. We'll sing hymn 778. Please be seated. Good morning. On behalf of our congregation, we'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements for today. This evening, we have Southern California worship services, but Pastor Gerath from Arizona will be taking those. That's at 6 p.m. Down in Corona. This week, we have a number of meetings. Monday, we have Board of Elders meeting at 6:30 and Church Council meeting at 7. So that's tomorrow here at church, 6:30 and 7 p.m. Tuesday, we'll be having our 50th anniversary committee meeting at 7 p.m. at the Hurillo's home. Wednesday, I have catechism class via Skype at 7 p.m. And then Friday, we have our Board of Education meeting, which was rescheduled. It will be this Friday at 7 p.m., and that is going to be at Jordan's apartment, correct? I believe it is. I think that's still accurate. Next Sunday, I forgot to include that we will be having communion next Sunday during the worship service. So our Bible class will be at 9, worship service at 10 a.m. With communion, and then our voters meeting will be held after the service at 11:15. And you see some of the agenda there in the announcements in the bulletin. There is a CLC financial report in your mailbox for the month of October. Please take a look at that and remember the needs of our church body in your prayers as well. We have put out the food pantry box in the entryway. We will try to collect enough to take it in for Thanksgiving food donation. It says Christmas on the box right now, but we plan to change that. And we will leave it up through the holiday season as well. So if you have any food pantry items, dry goods, non-perishables that you'd like to donate, please put them in the box in the entryway of church. Any other announcements this morning? Grace, yes, please give announcements. Welcome. Thank you for coming and joining us. You had to give an announcement today, Grace. I realized as I was preaching this sermon that we have someone named Grace in our church as well. So this is not just your Sunday. This is everyone's Sunday. I also learned today that I need to bring a pen and paper with me when I take prayer requests when I turn around. I did that for a while, and I forgot this Sunday. So I hope I got all the prayers that we were asking for. If not, we will continue to pray for them this week. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.